You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy, day after the first NBA Finals game. We're going to talk a little bit about that up at the top here, and then also a quick update on the NBA Draft Combine, which we just talked about earlier this week, and a change to what we just discussed related to who is participating and who is not in terms of top prospects in the draft. And then I want to get back into the draft big board and talk about numbers 11 and 12 on my list. Actually, numbers 13 and 14 on my list. We did 11 and 12 on Wednesday. So that'll be today's show. First, before we get into the content, a quick reminder to please subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So NBA Finals, the Lakers and Heat opened things up on Wednesday night, game one. And Miami jumped out to an early lead in the first quarter, but then it was all Lakers pretty much the rest of the way. And the Lakers ended up winning by 18, 116 to 98. The game was, I guess the high points are Miami shot the ball terribly. They had a number of injury concerns, had a couple of their best players leave the game due to injury. And the Lakers, per usual, relied entirely on LeBron James and also Anthony Davis, who had a really good game. But LeBron was phenomenal. For the Heat, Jimmy Butler rolled his ankle in the first half and played the whole game, actually played pretty well overall. 23 points, 5 assists, 8 of 13 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3. Goran Dragic got hurt before halftime, hurt his foot, only played 15 minutes in the game and had just 6 points, 3 assists, shot 3 of 8 when he was in there early in the game. And then also, perhaps, certainly more concerning moving forward is Bam Adebayo had to leave the game with a shoulder injury, only played 21 minutes, had 8 points and 4 rebounds. And the Heat were down two of their best three players in Adebayo and Dragic, and Butler was hobbled. So their three best players all came down with an injury in this game. And the Lakers just kept putting Tyler Hero in ball screens. And, you know, he did his best to slow down LeBron James, but Tyler Hero and LeBron James is not a way to win. Hero was a minus 35 in 30 minutes. And most of that had to do with LeBron going right at him. He did shoot 6 of 18 from the field as well, and so he wasn't great on offense, had 14 points, 2 of 8 shooting from 3. Duncan Robinson had no points in 27 minutes, 0 of 3 shooting the ball beyond the arc, and the Heat just didn't get anything from their shooters. Jay Crowder had a solid game. He was switched. He guarded LeBron a bit, but whenever the Lakers could get Tyler Hero or another non-Bam Adebayo, non-Jay Crowder, non-Jimmy Butler defender on LeBron, they did that. And the Heat for the game shot only 11 of 35 from three-point range, 31.4%. The Lakers got 59 of their 116 points. So what is that? Just over half of their points from Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Next high scorers, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 13 points. Danny Green had 11 points. And then off the bench, Alex Caruso had 10. Nobody else had more than 8. And That was kind of the game. It's pretty much what you might have expected. I think without those injuries to the Heat, it's probably a closer game than 18 points. And to be clear, I mean, Eric Spoelstra is one of the game's best, one of the best coaches across the board, but one of the best in-game and in-series tacticians. So no doubt, with or without Adebayo and Dragic, Spoelstra is going to make adjustments. You know, this team's going to put up a fight, and they're going to win at least one game in this series. I think probably two, especially they can get Adebayo and Dragic back. I think this ends up going to game six. I think Miami does what they can to keep it close. Their rotation is better. The Lakers might have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, but really like the next 10 best players in the series, probably 7 or 8 of them are on the Heat. They just have a deeper rotation and can probably stomach these injuries better than say the Lakers could if Davis or LeBron got hurt, God forbid. You know, I think the Heat can weather the storm a little bit and at least push back a little bit on the Lakers. So, Yeah. So unfortunately, not a super competitive game one. Interesting to see how the Lakers did attack the Heat defense, which is, of course, really good typically. And we'll see what kind of adjustments Spoelstra makes. Hopefully Adebayo and Dragic can return, and hopefully Butler's ankle doesn't slow him down too much. Obviously the game is a lot more fun when he's on the floor and when he's healthy. So we'll see how that develops. All right. A quick NBA draft note here off the top. Talked about the draft combine earlier this week and the surprise that LaMelo Ball was going to participate, as many of the top names were not going to. Found out late on Wednesday that Ball has already withdrawn from the combine. And this is a reporting by Jeremy Wu at Sports Illustrated. He's the NBA draft insider for SI. He said on Wednesday afternoon that LaMelo Ball has withdrawn from the remainder of the NBA combine. He participated in a media session and the Standard League interview this week, but did not interview directly with teams. So he's not going to meet individually with teams. He's not going to apparently submit this workout video, which we talked about on the show, I believe yesterday. And it's really not that big of a surprise. It's just kind of disappointing when it looked like he was going to be the one guy who might go number one, who would actually stay in and do all of the stuff. But it appears as though he will not. So he may never actually interview directly with the Timberwolves. We'll see what happens with that. I'm sure they'll still try and get something scheduled. It may just not happen as part of the official draft combine proceedings. All right, I want to get back into the big board, talk about numbers 13 and 14 on my board, Big Board 2.0. Before we do that, let's talk about our outstanding friends at DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you have plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat. Your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the US, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities that they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off plus zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, let's jump back into the big board. Again, this is Big Board 2.0. We did the Big Board 1.0 over the summer. This is, probably part 5 or 6 of 2.0. We've kind of spread this out over the last couple of weeks. Today, I want to talk about numbers 13 and 14. And I'll just real quick run through 1 through 12 on Big Board 2.0. Number one on my big board is LaMelo Ball. Number two, Anthony Edwards. Number three, Killian Hayes. Four, Obi Toppin, big man from Dayton. Number five, Devin Vassell, the wing from Florida State. Six, Tyrese Haliburton from Iowa State. Number seven on the big board, Patrick Williams, is the big riser from the mid-teens last time around, up to number seven on the list now. Number eight is Isaac Okoro, the wing from Auburn. Number nine is Sadiq Bey. Number 10, Onyeka Okongwu. And then on yesterday's show, we talked 11, Aaron Nesmith, and number 12, Kyra Lewis Jr., the point guard from Alabama. Today, I want to talk 13 and 14, and I will admit, I think I dropped the ball a little bit here on number 13. I have Dania Vija there. There's some mocks that have him. I think it was the Ringer mock draft has him going second. There's a lot of mocks have him at the 4, 5, 6 range. I don't love him as a prospect, and that's why he was 13 on my big board 1.0. Frankly, I think I should still have him a little bit higher on 2.0. So you can bet he'll be a little higher once we get to 3.0 here in the next few weeks. But I'd probably put him realistically 2-3 spots higher. If he's somehow on the board at 13, then that's great value because of what his upside is. If you're not familiar with him as a prospect, Avija is effectively a point forward. He is 6'9". He is an Israeli-Serbian player. He's been playing at Maccabi Tel Aviv and been in the EuroLeague. And there's a lot of, and I know that this is a dangerous comparison because there's so many lazy, international guy to international guy comparisons, but he's a lot like Dario Saric, who of course was on the Wolves a couple of years ago and was in the initial Jimmy Butler deal from Philadelphia. There's a lot of Dario Saric in his game in that he can do a number of different things well. and nothing really outstanding. I mean, he's got really good court vision. He's actually probably a little bit of a better passer and a little bit more of a point forward than Šarić ended up being. He's got the size at 6'9" to be effective at the NBA level. He's got the passing ability and got really good feel, especially offensively. And he can handle the ball. He can handle in the pick and roll really, and doesn't turn the ball over a lot, which is all really positive. I think he's more at the NBA level. He could go to a team where he perhaps could play the four and operate out of the high post a little bit. There's not a ton of teams that run an offense where that would make a ton of sense, but he can also finish in the paint and knows what he's good at and is clearly he's a professional. He's only 19 and a half years old, but he's been playing professionally for a while and can be effective at the NBA level. Now, he's not a good enough scorer from outside the arc. If he was a better three-point shooter, or if he was maybe a little bit more athletic, a little bit more impressive in terms of his athletic profile, then I think he's kind of a no-brainer top. He'd be in that top tier in the same conversation as LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, and James Wiseman. But he's only 6'9 with a 6'9 wingspan. He's an okay athlete. He doesn't have a ton of burst. He doesn't blow people away off the dribble. He can score in the paint mostly because of his size and strength. But remember, he is playing against much older professionals in a lot of cases, but yet he's also playing in a league. I mean, the competition is going to get that much more difficult at the NBA level. And so for me, because he's not really outstanding at anything other than, you know, you could say his playmaking ability and ball handling for his size is certainly above average, but the shooting concerns me. He was only about a 33%, a little better than 33% three-point shooter this year. And his free throw percentage is only 52% on just 75 attempts. That doesn't really give me much confidence that his shot's going to improve dramatically at the NBA level. If it did, if we knew that he could shoot, then he's a no-brainer top three, top four pick. But the shooting numbers are scary, and also some of that lateral quickness and burst on both ends of the floor, the lack thereof is concerning. He is a good team defender, and I mentioned his offensive IQ. He's smart defensively, and because of his solid size, he can be in the right place at the right time. He can be opportunistic on defense and not put his team in a bad spot. But he's not an outstanding rebounder. He's not an outstanding athlete. He's not an outstanding shooter. And if you're going to use a pick in the top five, you want somebody who can be great at any number of those things. And he's not. So I think if he's there, you know, he could be a trade back candidate. And again, I anticipate moving him higher on the next version of my big board. But he could be, he's a guy who would fit what the Wolves are trying to do fairly well. He could plug in, play the three, play the four, and be in that, you know, Jake Lehman type role, the 3-4. He's not going to be able to guard very many fives at the NBA level. But, he could function as, you know, next to Karl-Anthony Towns. Again, if he could just improve that three-point shot a little bit, he's got the upside to be a starting caliber player at the NBA level and be really kind of a perfect synergistic fit next to Karl-Anthony Towns. I just have concerns with the shooting percentages and some of the athletic limitations as well. So for me, he's still number 13 on the big board. Again, I would move him a bit higher next time around. And he's probably someone the Wolves are seriously considering in the event that they trade backwards, or if he somehow were to fall to 17, which isn't going to happen, or if maybe they move up from 17. I don't see him going two like Kevin O'Connor at the Ringer. I talked about the consensus mock draft on yesterday's show, I believe. And that was basically taking the 10 most popular mock drafts from around the internet and putting them together at NBA.com. And Avija was number 4 to the Bulls on that mock. Five of the 10 mock drafts actually have him going 4th to the Bulls. So it's highly likely he's a top 5 pick. I think just some of those concerns that I already listed are the reasons he's fallen down my board a little bit. You just can't have a guy, you can't draft a guy that high who's going to have significant limitations such as shooting if he's going to be playing a little bit on the perimeter in the Wolves offense. So that's why he's number 13. All right, I want to talk 14 coming up here next. And we're getting really close to 17 where the Wolves do hold another pick. So this is where perk up and pay attention to some of these names that are likely going to be on the board as we near the Wolves' second pick of the first round in this year's draft. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our title sponsor of today's show, and that's our friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer only to choose the brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or an account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. That's Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Okay, let's talk about the number 14 player on my big board 2.0. A little bit of movement here as well. This player was 18 last time around and rose a little bit, and that's Alexei Pokusevsky. Pokusevsky is, if you're unaware of who he is, he's 7 feet tall and has a 7'3 wingspan, but he is painfully skinny. He's listed at 7'2", 201 pounds. And I don't know that I don't know how to explain unless you go and Google clips of him playing in Serbia to see just how skinny he is. But when you watch him play, he looks like he's like a, you know, a point forward, like a, almost like a Lamar Odom type player who can score in multiple different ways, be a great passer, can handle the ball. He's a lot, obviously bigger than Lamar Odom even. Just such a unique prospect. But here's the thought process before I get too deep into his profile and his strengths and weaknesses. The thought process here is you're talking mid-lottery. You look at some of the guys taken from like 14 to 19 in recent years, there's always one or two guys that ends up being far above expectations in that range. And part of this obviously is a little bit of confirmation bias, I guess, admittedly so. But I mean, you know, Giannis is drafted in this range. There's been a couple of other guys, you know, not quite to Giannis's level, of course, but close, who have been drafted in this range. This is where you can take a little bit of a chance. It's either that or you take a safer pick who, you know, somebody who's maybe a little well-rounded that's likely going to be an NBA rotation player, but there's not much upside, or maybe their upside is rotation player and they could still flame out and not be a productive NBA player. Why not take a swing at somebody who has the upside? I mean, legitimately the all-star upside of, you know, even an MVP caliber type player like a Giannis, or, I mean, what's another example of a player like that? I mean, Jokic, I guess he's a different player than Jokic, but there's similarities to both Jokic and Giannis. And in a draft that doesn't have very many sure things anyways, why not take a swing when you're in the, you know, if he falls to 17, you know, the Wolves have to take a look at this. I mean, he's probably not going to contribute much in year one or even year two, but Pokusevsky could become a very solid NBA player. He's only 18 years old. He's like 18 and a half, and there's tons of upside. So his skill set is what I mentioned. He's a fantastic passer, fantastic handles for a 7-footer. He's basically like an oversized wing. I mean, he doesn't play like a power forward. He doesn't rebound like a power forward. He doesn't play in the post like a power forward. He doesn't really finish through contact all that well. But everything that he does, if he were, you know, 6 inches shorter, everyone would say, oh, this guy's a great wing prospect. It's just weird to see and just unusual to see someone have that skill set at that size and also as skinny as he is. He's a solid shooter. He can shoot threes. He's just not super consistent, and that's a concern. So he needs to, you know, continue to develop his shooting potential. Some of the scouting reports I read talked about his form's okay, but his follow through isn't consistent, and some of those things that could be cleaned up fairly easily. Clearly, he's got good touch, and clearly he has an offensive IQ that's off the charts. So as a ball handler and a playmaker, somebody who could be a key part of a fast break, a secondary fast break, you know, could use his length and decent athleticism to be a cutter in the paint, score on open baskets, handle in the pick and roll in the secondary break. At his size and wingspan, a 7'3 wingspan, if he becomes stronger, could end up being a pretty decent defensive player, especially as a help defender. And I think here, again, the upside is so sky high that he has to be considered at this point in the draft. Now, he's been sloppy. There's been a lot of turnovers. Remember, he's 18. he's also not playing in a super competitive league. And so it's going to be a big jump for him. And that's why I say, I mean, it took Giannis a couple of years to become a solid NBA player even. And now look at what he became. And so there's going to be a learning curve there, especially defensively, especially decision-making on offense. But again, with his court vision, with his playmaking ability, his handle, his length, his size, there's so much upside that he has to be somebody that you'd consider. I don't really know what, how teams are going to use him in the NBA. I mean, Giannis, everybody just assumed he'd be a four, and now he essentially runs the offense in Milwaukee and is positionally flexible. I think Pokuševski is somebody who in theory you hope could play next to Towns in a couple of years. And that's probably, you know, you put him at the three or the four or whatever, and just find a, somebody, some way to put him somewhere to put him defensively where he can jump passing lanes and just kind of be a nuisance, but he's not going to guard very many guys well, one-on-one, especially not early in his career. So this is again, a home run swing, and you figure out the fit, the exact fit and the exact future later. Cause again, you're talking number 17 in the draft. Why not take a swing? It's either take a swing or it's draft an RJ Hampton or, you know, Tyrese Maxey or somebody who's probably got the ceiling of being a solid backup rotational guy. Pokuševski's got star level ceiling. His floor is probably lower. And, but you know, how many guys get drafted in the middle of the first round that don't ultimately have, you know, don't ultimately turn into rotation players anyways, you might as well take a risk like Milwaukee did with Giannis. Denver's drafting of Jokic was obviously not nearly as much of a risk given where he was drafted, but this is the opportunity that the Wolves would have to add somebody who could become a star down the road. So that's why Pokuševski's 14 on my list. That's probably about where he'll stay moving forward. I think that's probably about where he'll get picked unless there's somebody that really believes in him and doesn't want to miss the next Giannis. And so they're trying to, you know, and again, I want to be clear. I don't think it's likely he becomes Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not trying to put that on him either. I just think that's the comparison to somebody who's raw, who's young, who's big, who has a unique skill set, and likely will be drafted in the teens. I think that's the easiest comparison, and not because I think he will become Giannis. I want to be very clear about that. So I think he probably goes in the late lottery, early, you know, maybe mid-teens, right about where I have him on the big board in this year's draft. So we'll see how that all shakes out. All right, that's all we have for you today on the show. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow on Friday. If you're not aware, this is a daily show, Monday through Friday. Talk Timberwolves every day of the work week. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.